Welcome to episode 87 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. Today I want to talk about diseases that change behavior. Once upon a long time ago, I saw a documentary about a parasite that lives in snails. This is in the Florida Keys. It causes the snails to have one of their antennae grow extra large, change bright red, and wriggle around. It looks like a little worm. It also changes their behavior. It causes them to climb to the tops of plants when normally they'd be hiding down in the shade. Birds come along and eat the little worm-looking antenna off of the snail, and thus the pathogen manages to infect the birds, which is where it wants to go to complete its life cycle. This intrigued me, the idea that a sickness could hack the behavior of an animal. But snails have relatively simple nervous systems. It's not really that hard to hack. What about other animals? What about vertebrates? What about mammals? Well, I'm sure you've heard of rabies. Rabies causes animals to attack one another, and the bites are infectious. So in a way, it causes behavior that spreads the disease, similar to what happens with that snail. It also correlates, interestingly, with legends like vampires, zombies, and werewolves, where there is a common thread that the person is transformed into a ravening beast that wishes to attack other people, and if you get bitten, you become one. But violent behavior isn't all that complicated. Doesn't seem that hard to cause. Could be just a coincidence. So let's get to something a bit more specific. A disease called toxoplasmosis. It's caused by a microorganism called Toxoplasmosis gondii. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, G-O-N-D-I-I. This little bug finishes and starts its life cycle in the guts of a cat. That is the only place where it can go through sexual reproduction. In every other host that it lives in, it can only propagate asexually. So the cat is considered the primary host. All other animals that it can infect are considered secondary hosts. And there are lots of secondary hosts, including mice, rats, pigs, dogs, people, bears, and bald eagles, for a non-exhaustive list. The most interesting thing about toxoplasmosis is that when a rodent catches it, they tend to lose their fear of cats. This has been verified experimentally when it's shown that rats and mice lose their fear of the smell of cat urine. And when they were looking at the activity in a male rat's brain, there was decreased activity in the areas correlated with fear and increased activity in areas correlated with sexual interest. So the rats, in addition to not being afraid of the cats, might actually be a little bit attracted to them. This means that that little bug has managed to hack the rodent nervous system to the point where their behavior makes them much more likely to be eaten by the primary host, who then becomes infected. Humans can be infected by this pathogen, and there has been some evidence that suggests that it may affect our behavior as well, but that evidence is rather sketchy. When you are reading the references I have links to on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com, be sure and take some of what they say with a grain of salt. While there's some correlation with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and suicide attempts, you have to remember that just because the pathogen is there, it doesn't mean it is causing those conditions. Schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and major depressive disorder all have a common symptom. Namely, people suffering from these disorders have trouble taking care of daily tasks, including house cleaning and personal hygiene. This ups the chances that they can be infected. People get infected through soil contact, by not washing their vegetables, by not cooking meat thoroughly enough, and through kitty litter. There's estimations that up to 30 to 50% of the population are actually infected by this disease. This is why I'm not convinced by the idea that this disease affects our behavior, especially. In that large a chunk of population, if it did affect our behavior, we would have noticed long ago. In humans with a healthy immune system, the worst you're going to get are mild flu-like symptoms and slightly swollen lymph nodes. In fact, you may never notice any symptoms at all. If your immune system is compromised, or if you are pregnant, there is more cause for concern. Developing embryos can be infected by this pathogen, and it can cause neurological damage, quite serious neurological damage. So if you are pregnant and you like to garden, be sure and wear your gloves, be sure and wash your vegetables, cook your meat thoroughly, and let someone else change the kitty litter for now. So that's a microorganism that can affect the behavior of its hosts. But what about something that isn't a pathogen? Something that's not a sickness? One of those symbiotic organisms that's there usually. Do they affect our behavior? Or could their absence affect our behavior? We'll talk about that next time. I'll see you then.